Lord, hallelujah. God in heaven, God of mercy, God of great compassion. God in heaven, you said your word in your word, you declare, Father, that heaven is your throne room and the earth is your footstool. But you said, Lord God, to this man will I look, to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at your word. Lord, we gather here because, Lord God, your word is important to us. We count it as meat, as bread. And your word says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of your mouth. You meet the longing of the soul that look to you. You looked, O God, to the soul that thirst and hunger after you. And God, you will never ever disappoint them that come, O God, before you with a broken spirit and of a contrite heart. We thank you for your goodness. Hallelujah. We thank you for your mercies. Hallelujah. We thank you, O God Almighty, that Lord God, we have an open heaven and we have access to you. And now, God, all you ask of us is to come to you, O God. You're asking us to come before your presence. You said to come boldly before your throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. So we thank you, O God, that Lord God, it is not you that is holding us back or preventing us from coming to you. But God Almighty, we can say, O God, it is I. It is I, it is I. So we give you thanks and we give you praises, hallelujah, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, 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 glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, yes, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, the past Pastor Henry and I must say that I love you and I have great appreciation and admiration for the work that you do and for your continuous toiling and labor for the Lord. It goes also to your wife and also to Pastor Fiani. Always see Pastor Fiani as an elder statesman. When you speak, is the voice of an elder statesman that speak concerning is what he sees of what God is calling us to do. And he speaks as one who has been on the battlefield for a long, long time, but not tired yet. And so I give thanks for the both of you and your wives. I give thanks for the members. And I know Pastor Henry called us this morning to a time of corporate worship. And corporate worship leads to corporate encounter, which leads to corporate blessings. In the book of Acts, it says that when they were, their Pentecost was fully come, that they were all with one accord in one place. And then it talks about how the Spirit of God appeared unto them like cloven tongues. And notice it says not one person missed out on it, because it filled the Holy Ghost. Oh, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, because he sat upon every single one of them. No one missed the blessing of God. In a corporate worship, when we give off ourselves, we have a corporate encounter with God. And nobody is left out. Nobody is exempt, because they were all in one accord. And so I thank God for this opportunity again to share a word with you. The challenges of life are many. I thank those who have, Sister Fiani, for leading us into that time of corporate worship. And I thank Sister Julie for putting herself in the scripture as she read the scripture. Thanking Sister Henry for your welcome and all, and for the invitation to come and to for us to all partake of what God has provided for us. Hallelujah. The last time I spoke with you, the title of my message was, Can God Count on You? And in that message, by the Spirit of God, I spoke about the disciples missing the moment and the assignment. Not that they miss it all the time, but in this particular case, they missed the moment and the assignment. And I made a statement at that time, again by the Spirit of God, that every morning when we wake up, we should tell ourselves, this is my moment. I have an assignment.
Yes, yes.
And since that message, I have taken it personally to regularly affirm that this is my moment and I have an assignment. And I noticed in Pastor Henry's prayer, he says, Lord, give us a moment of your glory and splendor so that we may be stronger in you.
Yes.
Because that when we have a moment with God, that's what happens. The Bible says, in his presence there is fullness of joy.
Yes.
And it explains that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So in a moment of an encounter with God, we are refreshed. We get stronger.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so since that time, I've regularly just keep affirming each day that this is my moment. I have an assignment. It might not be as I wake up in the morning, but sometimes during the day, I find myself saying, this is my moment. I have an assignment.
Yes.
And as I saw the Lord concerning a word for us, last week he brought me to the book of Esther and said, talk about a man who did not miss the moment or the assignment. So, as a man of God, I have to really believe that God is staging us and sharpening us to not miss the moment and the assignment. Because he said to us, talk about a man who did not miss the moment or the assignment. As a man of God, I have to believe that he's preparing us and he wants us to have an awareness and a discernment of the moment and the assignment. You never know when, who, why, or how, but we must be in a state of readiness. We must be in a state of readiness. And church, I have to admit, and pastors will understand this, I must admit that the challenges I've had in preparing this message confirms to me that somebody is either at the place of giving up or at the moment of a breakthrough. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody's at the edge of a breakthrough or they're at the place of trying to give up. But don't miss your moment. Even in corporate worship, that was a moment for somebody to get into the stream of worship. Reluctantly, as you might feel it, it was a moment for you to get into the stream of worship. And if you did not get in the stream, it is still flowing. And when you get into that stream, the scripture talks about out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. In the scriptures that was read today, Esther chapter 2, verse 21 to 23. It talks about in those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teres, of those which kept the gate, were wroth, angry, and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus is a Hebrew form of the name, and elsewhere you'll see it will be, you'll be called Xerxes, which is the Greek form of the name. But it's used interchangeably. I think in Ezra it uses the Greek name. And the thing was, verse 22 says, and the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen. And Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. I wonder sometimes you got to go slowly and make sure that you're grasping the moment and the timing of all of this. So in verse 23 it says, and when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out therefore they were hanged. They were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. And then in chapter 6 of Esther, verse 1 and 3, it says that on that night could not the king sleep. And I want you to pause and to think that through. On that night, the king could not sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles. And they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity has been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. Can you just say there's nothing done for him? Hallelujah. 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 Most of us may be familiar with the book of Esther. These two excerpts of scripture from this book of Esther connect a moment with a memorial. And I, why these two scriptures, I asked the Lord this morning. I asked him, why these two scriptures? And he said, I want them to know that I am faithful. Hallelujah. The Lord wants you to know that he's faithful. That's what he said to me. I want them to know that I am faithful. So the link, that's why he has the two scriptures, portions of scripture being linked. He says, I want them to know that I am faithful. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody might have been entertaining the thoughts as to whether it makes a difference to serve God. But King David says, better is one day in your house than thousands elsewhere. In Psalm 84. May I also remind you concerning Abraham, the Bible says this of Abraham. Romans 4, chapter 4. He says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. I want to remind somebody that person or persons that are at that point of wanting to give up, that concerning this situation with Abraham, only God could fulfill it. It took the supernatural power of God to fulfill it. And so the Lord wants me to remind you this morning that he's faithful. The title of my message this morning is simple this. It is this. What you do makes a difference. What you do makes a difference. So by way of background and so that we make honor time and all of that, leading to chapter 2, King Ahasuerus called a royal feast in chapter 1. And he made a request of Queen Vashti, which was the queen at the time. And she refused him. As a result, Queen Vashti was banished as punishment for refusing the king's request. And so his advisors also suggested that fair young virgins be sought for the king, from whom a queen would be chosen. And by all of the processes and the standards that they have set, Esther was chosen. So we pick up here in verse 21 of chapter 2. It was a regular, ordinary day. But Mordecai encountered this moment that provided an assignment for him. He He had to decide what to do with what he knew. And so I want to remind you then, therefore, that what you do makes a difference. Because it says, and the king, the thing was known to Mordecai in verse 22. And here's what Mordecai did. It says, the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen. Queen Esther now had to decide what to do with what she knew. So may I pause here and say, and tell you, I remind you again, what you do makes a difference. Somebody grab that in the spirit. What you do makes a difference. So Esther, and it says, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. She encountered this moment that provided an assignment for her. And so it begs me to pause a bit and have us just by way of introspection to question ourselves and to ask this question of ourselves: what do I do with what I know? Because it's important. And everything earned requires an action and has answers and blessings associated with it. And we're going to see that later. So to jump down to chapter 3 now. Haman's hatred of Mordecai is revealed in chapter 3, as well as Haman's plot to kill all the Jews. And when I read this, the book of Esther, throughout this entire book, Mordecai repeatedly encountered moments that provided assignments for him. And then I started to see why the Lord says, talk about a man that did not miss the moment or the assignment. And for example, in chapter 3, verse 2 to 5, it says, and all the king's servants that were in the king's place gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. Listen to what happened with Mordecai. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. This is his moment. He had to make a decision. Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressed thou the king's commandment? Verse 4 says, now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened, he listened not unto them. So Mordecai again had these moments, and he had to make a decision. He refused to listen to them. And they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matter would stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And so Haman, in verse 8 and 9, Haman said unto Ahasuerus, this is chapter 3, there's a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people, in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people. It's different laws. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them, to allow them. It's not profitable for you, king, to allow them to continue this way. So verse 9 said, if it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And so, again, Mordecai is faced with a situation where we transition to verse 4 now. In chapter 1, it says, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, this is his moment again, and provided an assignment. Mordecai responded. Mordecai rent his clothes, put on sackcloth with ashes, and went out into the midst of the city, and cried with a loud and bitter voice. Have you ever been so overcome by a situation where it caused you to cry out aloud, to wail before the Lord? Verse 2 says, and it came before the king, and it came, it even came before the king's gate. for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. Verse 4 says, so Esther's maids and her chamberlains, we're getting somewhere, came and told it to her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to Mordecai. This is her moment. She sent raiment to Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him. And this is Mordecai's moment again. It says, but he received it not. When you're under persuasion, when you're fully persuaded concerning things, nothing can persuade you until you see that which you desire being fulfilled. So Mordecai was persuaded. So in verse 15 or verse 5, all the way down to verse 17, of chapter 4, Esther called Esther for Attash, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Attash went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. Verse 7 of chapter 4 says, and Mordecai told him of all that happened unto him. Another moment, another assignment presented to him, and he responded by letting it be known what had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she might go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make requests before him for her people. Interesting dynamics taking place right here. And Attash came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Attash and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. She said, all the king's servants and the people of the king's province, she says, do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. And she said, but I have not been called unto the king these 30 days. Verse 12 says, and they told to Mordecai these words, Esther's words. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because you're about to see a transition. Amen. You're about to see a transition that will help to take you to another level in Christ.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So the word says that, then Mordecai commanded to Esther, he says, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall in their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan. Fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink these days. Notice she has a moment and she has to make some decision. This is her assignment now. I will also make my maidens with fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his ways and did according to all that Esther had commanded. Let me just go back a little into it now. Mordecai did not want his cousin / daughter, because the Bible says it was his uncle's daughter and he adopted her, raised her as his daughter. So though she is his cousin, it is his daughter. She is his daughter. So Mordecai did not want his cousin, his daughter, to miss the moment. And so essentially he said to her, who knows if this is not your moment? And who among you in the congregation know that is hearing my voice. This is your question too. Who knows if this is not your moment? Why do I say this? He says in verse 14, and who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows if this is not your moment? I love how Esther responds to it. In Esther's answer, she's saying, I will respond to the moment. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. She said, I will respond to the moment. Verse 16 says, she says, I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Hallelujah. She said, I will respond to the moment. I no longer am concerned about my own well-being. There's a moment that has presented itself to me. And this is my assignment, and I'm going to respond to the moment. The moment does not have to be sweet and pleasant. The assignment does not have to be sweet and pleasant. It may contain heartache and pain. It may be filled with frustration and disappointments. And sometimes it's extremely risky, just like this particular moment. But remember, God is faithful. And what you do makes a difference. Hallelujah. What you do makes a difference. There's a lot of storyline in this book, and one of them is about a connection between a man, Mordecai, his God, and the next generation that highlights a number of things. One of them is it highlights the impartation of faith and boldness by Mordecai to Esther. She's a daughter, and I would say she's a mentee. He mentored her. He mentored her in faith, and he mentored her in boldness. And there was a moment that presented itself where he had to demonstrate it to her, and she catch it. The other thing is that he did not look upon the circumstances. The third thing is he made her feel empowered to trust God. And we have to make others feel empowered that they can trust God too. And to me, verse 15 is an affirmation by Mordecai that Esther had finally connected to his God. Verse 15 says, so Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. She had connected to God, and it's this an affirmation of one generation to the next. And what a sweet affirmation it is that she has connected to God. And it is as if he said to her, yes, daughter, you got it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, daughter, you got it. That which I have, the way I've raised you, now I'm witnessing it, that you have connected to the God. You have learned to go before me in prayer and fasting. You have learned that with faith and boldness, there's nothing that's going to be able to stop in your way that's going to prevent you from getting to God. So verse 15 of chapter 4 is a sweet affirmation of one generation to the next. Verse 17. It says verse 17, not verse 15. Mighty God. So I want to fast forward then to chapter 6. A lot of things happened in between. It says that on that night, could not the king sleep. Anybody ever had sleepless nights? I know somebody in our audience have had sleepless nights. And I don't discount when it went sleepless nights. Because I find that the Lord is speaking during that time. I don't watch any attack from the enemy. The Lord is speaking. If he has you up without sleeping, that means he's doing something. I remember years ago, I went through a long period of time of not getting enough sleep. Getting up at 1 o'clock and praying through to morning, and getting up at 2 o'clock and praying through to morning, and getting up at 3 and praying through to morning. And after a long period of time, I said to the Lord, Lord, this is not good. Because I'm concerned of driving this long distance for an hour in the traffic that I'm, you know, feel like I'm falling asleep while I'm driving. It's dangerous. And the Lord said to me, if I give you 1 hour of sleep, I'm able to sustain you on it. So whether it's 1 hour or 8 hours, he's able to sustain you. Well, it's God who's doing it. He makes provision for it too. And so in chapter 6, it says, on that night could not the king sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. God is not mentioned in this book, but everybody who reads this book knows that the only one that is in control is the sovereign God of heaven and earth. Somebody say hallelujah. It's just like you and I know that it's the sovereign God that is in charge of our lives and is ordering our steps. And so in verse 2 he says, and it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teres, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. The king said, what honor and dignity has been done to Mordecai for this? The king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. That's what they think. So we're at a crucial juncture now when the moment comes up as a memorial. And I want to remind somebody, just if you can take solace and comfort and encouragement from chapter 6 verse 1 to those who have been praying, is that in one night everything can change. And to those who are serving, I want you to understand that in one night, everything can change.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah. And to those who are open in God, I want you to know that in one night, everything can change. Glory to God. Because God will never forget good deeds of obedience or let them go unrewarded. Let me say that again. God will never forget good deeds of obedience or let them go unrewarded.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In the scriptures in Acts chapter 10, there's a man by the name of Cornelius. And Bible talks in verse 4, says, and when he looked, there was an angel, he says, and when he looked, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he answered and said unto him, thy prayers and thy hands are come up for a memorial before God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
When your moment comes up as a memorial before God, nobody can say nothing was done.
Amen.
These guys said there's nothing done for him. But they forgot that the sovereign God of heaven and earth,
yes,
was the one that's turning the moment as a memorial now.
Yes.
So he says, Cornelius, thy prayers and thy arms are come up for a memorial before God.
Yes.
And what God does for Cornelius is what God is doing for you and I.
Yes, sir.
Is that in Acts chapter 10:4? That's Cornelius. So in Malachi chapter 3, I want to borrow a few verses there, verse 16 and 17. I know for time you might not be able to get there. But it says this. Verse 16 says, and they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, like we do in our time just fellowshipping. And the Lord hearkened, the Lord listened, the Lord and heard it. It says, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. Just fearing the Lord places you in that book of faith. God remembers that what you do makes a difference. God remembers. Verse 17 says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spear them as a man speareth his own son that serveth him. We need fathers and older men to speak into the lives of the the next generation.
Yes.
We need mothers and older women to wage war for the fruit of their womb and for the fruit of each other's womb. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Mordecai loved Esther dearly. But Mordecai had to speak some uncomfortable truth to Esther. In that same chapter 4. It says that Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. And he says this to her, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all of the Jews." Verse 4, it says, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed." Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He had to speak an uncomfortable truth to her. Uncomfortable truths create tensions. Anybody have ever been in a place where somebody says something and tension arises? Uncomfortable truths create tensions. Tension is not necessarily a bad thing. All that it is that it lets you know that two opposing factors are at play and a decision needs to be made. That's what the tension is. What I discovered, a great truth in life is that every decision we make reveals where our allegiance is. As Christians, our allegiance is not to culture, not to political affiliation, nor race, but to Jesus Christ who saved us. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Our allegiance is to Christ.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church, he says, "Listen, I've betrothed you to one husband. I brought you to one husband, to Jesus Christ. So don't let anybody else come in. If they bring you another gospel or another spirit or another Jesus, that's not the gospel. You are being drawn away to something that you never heard, never received. I don't know." So he had to speak some uncomfortable truth to his beloved daughter Esther. And this really was a test of leadership for both Mordecai and Esther.
Yes, sir.
You see, leadership is serving.
Yeah.
Leadership involves a willingness to suffer for Christ in the service of others. Hallelujah. Leadership involves a willingness to be vulnerable. Yeah. And you'd never know at what point in time you'll be thrust into that position. Years and years ago, as a young man in high school, I learned a lesson from what I failed to do. And I call it a tremendous lesson in leadership. We were studying for exams. I was at Woolmer's Boys School. And it was on a Saturday, and I was studying for, a group of us to study for an exam. And one guy in the group went off and did something, he almost did something that was against the school rules. And it could have landed him in jail. One guy. And there was a group of, I would think about 7 or 8 of us there. That was a Saturday. Monday morning, first thing, the principal of the school called me into his office. Now, I had nothing to do with it. He called me into his office. And his question to me was, "Dean, what happened?" You think because what happened, this watchman for the school would have reported whatever happened to the principal. He said, "What happened?" And I refused to tell him. There's nothing done. There's no activity. You know, what he attempted didn't work. I was prevented. He asked me what happened. I told him I don't know. I said, "I'm not telling anything."
Yes.
And he looked me in the face And he said, Dean, as a leader of the cricket team, because I represented the school in cricket, and I was one of the leaders of the cricket team. He says, as a leader of the cricket team, more is expected of you. That's a tremendous lesson for me. And listen to this. He suspended me for two days. Nobody else got suspended. But because of my position as a leader of the cricket team, and he expected more, he suspended me. He knew all of what took place already. But what a test of leadership. But do you know that this is one of my mantras in life now? Where I recognize that more is expected. And he put it clear, he says, as a leader of the cricket team, more is expected of you. In any position of leadership, more is expected of you. And that has served me well. A failure from what I did not do, or failed to do. So I'm telling you, what you do makes a difference. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Every one of us is engaged in serving. We might serve at different levels. We serve in our house, on the job, we serve in the church. Wherever God has placed us, we are servants. And leadership is serving. The events of the book of Esther, it covers a 10-year period. And I know that your situation might have been going on for less or more than 10 years. I want you to know, though, that God is not subject to time. He rules over time. God is the one who initiated time in the beginning. He's the one who controls time. And he fulfills time. He's the one that will fulfill time. Daniel says of him, he changes the times and the seasons. He removed kings, he set up kings. He gave wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealed the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. God rules over time. So when we look back at it, adopting Esther was a significant moment for Mordecai. And he created assignments for him. And I would say a job well done. Because he got to the place where he could affirm her. When she said, do this, she did everything that she said. And I say to us today, don't be hasty. Don't be weary. In due time, your work will speak for you. Because God is faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. God is faithful. The challenge for us is to focus on fulfilling your assignment each day. Having this consciousness that when you get up in the day, you recognize that this is my moment and I have an assignment. Perhaps there's somebody here this morning and you have not surrendered your life to Jesus. For you, this is your most significant moment. This is the most significant moment. I'm saying the uncomfortable truth to you is you are a sinner and you must make a decision. Yes, it's uncomfortable, but it is the truth. And I'm inviting you to his presence and to connect with God's will for your life. Malachi makes us to understand this. He says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And I'm pleading with you. Now, God says, and all the proud and all they that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But he said, but unto them that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stars. I'm pleading with you this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, this is your moment. It's the most significant moment you'll ever encounter. surrendering your life to Christ.
Yes.
And do not let the enemy turn your mind around. As if the Lord is not going to do what he says. Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he's long-suffering toward us, and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is there one person that the Lord is ministering to right now? I plead and I urge you to come. I plead with you to yield to the Spirit of truth and come. Anybody willing to step out and say, you know what, I need Jesus. I need Jesus.
Yes.
Glory. Somebody needs to surrender. Also, perhaps you might be saved and serving the Lord. But the waiting seems long and it's taking a toll on you. And I hear Pastor Edwin mention that in his opening prayer this morning. That the different challenges of work has taken a toll on us. And so if the waiting seems long and it's taking a toll on you, I invite you two to come to the altar. Just come to the altar this morning. Come to the altar with me. Anybody for salvation? Anybody there waiting a long time? It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so it's taking a toll on us. But I want to, as you come and to surrender, I thank God for you that comes. I'm reminded back in verse 4, in chapter 4, verse 1 and 3. It says, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes. He went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud voice and a bitter cry. He came before the king's gate, and none might enter into the gate clothed in sackcloth. Verse 3 says, and in every province wheresoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was a great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Somebody just needs to put out a wail before the Lord. Would you just join me and wail before the Lord? Oh! Oh! For the one that have come to surrender before the Lord, this is the best decision you have ever made. This is a great moment for you. And wherever else in the world you are, it doesn't matter if you are in Africa, in Asia, in Australia, in Europe, wherever you are, the message is the same. That you are a sinner and God saved. God has died for your sin that you might surrender. And those who are going through times of weariness and the waiting seems so long and the toll is just taking a toll on you. The Bible promises in Malachi chapter 4, he says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. But thank be to God." As he said in his word, he says, "Tell them that I am faithful." And I close with this apostolic church in America. God is faithful. What you do makes a difference. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.